In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Abraham has a visitor. Abraham has three visitors. Immediately we are thrown into an encounter that suggests the Trinity is on the doorstep. As we hear those first few words of the first reading this morning from Genesis, we are presented with God, and we perhaps think of some amazing theophany, like the burning bush that Moses encountered, or the fiery pillar that led the people out of Egypt. But then we are presented with three men. That brings the encounter down to earth. It's sort of a bit incarnational. But this is a key incident in Scripture. There seem to be two main things going on in the story of Abraham: where he is to settle, and him having an heir. Both seem sort of sorted out, Abraham and Sarah, by the oaks of Mamre. This will become Hebron, yes, that Hebron, where he and Sarah will be laid to rest. And the business of an heir, well, that's been sorted with Hagar, surely. Needs must. The message from these, or is it this, visitors, is that Sarah will have a child. Well, that's going to upset things, isn't it? But there is a comic element here. Sarah laughing as she earwigs from the tent. What makes her laugh? And it seems such a far-fetched idea. And then there's her being amused that she might know pleasure again. No lack of comedy in the Scriptures when we delve. Let us not take it all too seriously. God has a sense of humour. Christian tradition likes to interpret this visit as the Trinity paying a visit. And Rublev's icon, which is on the service sheet sent out, has the three of them sharing the meal that Sarah prepares. A meal that looks very much like a communion. We might not find that interpretation very logical, but I think we find ourselves at a loss trying to find the reason for the three visitors otherwise. Early writers, including Paul, heavily interpret Scripture as involving Christ throughout. See 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, for example, that cropped up in our readings during the week. To think of Christ at work then doesn't sit easy with the modern mind, and it doesn't seem very chronological. Perhaps that's something we need to think about. Anyway, today's gospel picks up with Jesus sorting out his team for the next stage of his mission to planet Earth. So if we think of Christ visiting Abraham and Jesus the Christ here, we have to reflect that he is patient, and that's perhaps good. And he's being patient with us still now. Well, this team, they're a bit of a ragtag and bobtail bunch. Why did Jesus choose such a crowd? It even included Judas Iscariot. Keep your enemy nearer than a friend, perhaps. But we should be encouraged as we consider ourselves. Jesus looks at us with all our foibles and weaknesses, and he chooses us too. But then they are thrown in at the deep end. It's one thing nodding in agreement with Jesus in the company of other nodders. Now go and share with others what I've been sharing with you. How about that? I find myself in that position this week, needing to throw someone in and just to see how they coped. That was really hard, the person said, after a half hour intensely concentrating on trying to convey their faith. But the process was willingly engaged with, and I'm certain the learning is still happening in that person's head. It made me do some thinking too. Just to instill further panic, Jesus instructs, don't take anything with you. When I have an important task to be undertaken, I want all my resources to hand. But this isn't just about execution of a task. This is about learning, and learning most of all, how to trust. To trust God. He is your greatest resource, and the only resource really necessary. He will even speak for you. At one level, I guess the way we typically engage with this gospel message is as giving us some background to the ongoing story. There's the image of a harvest. We like that. We're given all the apostles' names. Our imaginations go to working out what they look like. So we might want to eagerly read on just to see what happens next. But there is more here, clearly laid out for us, that we might understand the way that Jesus is showing us all how his message might be shared. First, we learn that this is not a solitary task, just for one individual, even if that individual is Jesus. Though I'm sure Jesus is speaking with confidence when he speaks of the plentiful harvest and the lack of labourers, it's helpful to consider it as a lament. After all, the people of God, Israel, were supposed to be the people who were sharing the message of God's saving love, but they managed to domesticate and tame it and make it just for themselves. For those who are his closest followers, he calls together and sends out, thereby multiplying the R rate of gospel transmission. He wants us all to heed that call too. I note that the new RSV doesn't say called, but summoned. That gives it a bit more weight, really. It's more definite. This is serious. There's a job to be done. And it's not about you. It's about those I'm sending you to. For us, there are limitations placed on how we might do that at present, but also opportunities, not only to explore new ways of conveying the message, but also re-evaluating our old ways, what we do, how we do it, and where we do it. Secondly, Jesus sends them to the house of Israel, to familiar territory. They'll understand what they are trying to say. They know their scripture. Yes, so start where you know and see how you get on. Then, don't be full of excuses as to why you can't start now. I need this, I need that. In fact, just don't take anything with you and don't be distracted from the task. And finally, of course, trust. It won't be easy, but even in the most difficult circumstances, rely on God, lean on him. You are never alone. Paul tells us in today's reading from Romans that sharing won't necessarily be easy. But like him, we can rejoice because that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope, and that hope does not disappoint. It inspires and energises us. And Paul is sort of saying, come on, bring it on. So let's get back to Abraham and those cakes. They might be ready by now. The text is so sparse in detail that we might think it was a fast food they were providing, that the Trinity were, or is that was, just stopping off on a drive-through. But the preparation would have taken a while. God is with Abraham, and he wants them to stay. Surely there is more conversation. Is there more conversation for you? Or is prayer just about sitting in an empty silence? Are there things you want to say to God, to shout at him even, but feel you can't, as if he doesn't know anyway? Are you listening for what he is saying to you? What we can see for all the characters in our readings today is that Abraham and Sarah, Jesus and the apostles, and Paul, is that for all of them, in their time, nothing was certain. Abraham and Sarah were sort of settled, but still living in a tent, and they were expected to accept some fanciful prediction about having a child in their dotage. The apostles have the message afresh, and are sent out with nothing in order to share it. Eek. And Paul, putting his name to a letter that's going to a fledgling church community in the empire's capital, where this strange new religion might come under suspicion, or worse. We are having what is, so far, only a short disruption to our preferred way of life. We need to stay attentive to the one who is always with us, holding and supporting us, loving us. He is calling, and perhaps it's not to what we want or expect, or can even begin to work out. Hey, Abraham, it's going to be like this. Let us turn to a time of prayer. And after each petition, I will say, Lord, as you call us. And the response is, make us worthy of our calling. Lord, as you call us,
make us worthy of our calling.
Lord, you are with us as we proclaim the good news. As we reach out to heal, to cure, to raise up, you are with us as we battle against evil. We pray for the church throughout the world, for all involved in mission and outreach. Lord, as you call us,
make us worthy of our calling.
Lord, you have called us to work together. We pray for the work of the United Nations. We remember all who are seeking to build up communities. We pray for those in government and for leaders of industry and commerce. We pray for all who have a sense of vocation and dedication. We remember those whose work is thwarted by the greed or violence of others. Lord, as you call us,
make us worthy of our calling.
We give thanks for all who have called us to a knowledge of you.
We pray for those who have sacrificed for us, those who love us, and those whom we love. We give thanks for all who have been examples to us, and pray that we may be an example to others. Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. We give thanks for all carers, for home helps and social workers, for all who are on the front line in combating the present virus. We pray for all whose vocation is cut short by sickness or disease, for all whose lives are restricted by poverty or oppression. And we pray for all who have lost any sense of vocation or meaning to life. Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. We are glad for all who have fulfilled their calling and have entered the fullness of your kingdom. We pray that, like them, we may follow you forever. Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. Lord, guide us, that we may become the people you would have us be. Direct us, that we may do what you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now let us sing together the hymn, Father, hear the prayer we offer. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This is my story. This is my song. Praise
good and gracious God grant you refreshment, renewal, restoration, that in his power you may live and work to his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.